Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Nancy Greenfield, chaplain of the Catholic community. It is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
We have a very powerful story of Jesus today. So it's hard to say anything else but apply it to our lives. Go and do likewise. But we do have to push ourselves. Push ourselves to see beyond our normal bubble. We always get stuck in a routine. That's just part of what life is like. I remember graduating from undergraduate. I was like, oh my gosh, this is what the rest of the area looks like. Saw a recent graduate from here. It's like, oh, San Francisco, what an amazing place. It's bigger than our world. We have to push ourselves to get out of that bubble. And today, challenging, and especially in this week of violence, continuing violence, and this violence that is because of divisions and not understanding, we need to push ourselves. So preparing for this, Father Xavier came up. He pushed himself. He started with a quote. I just had to share this. Someone that Father Xavier would not turn to, and he actually said, I found this quote true. Someone I do not agree with normally. It's from Newt Gingrich. Wow, Xavier, you really pushed yourself. He said, if you are a normal white American, the truth is you don't understand being black in America. You instinctively underestimate the level of discrimination and the level of additional risk. It is more dangerous in that you are substantially more likely to be in a situation where police don't respect you and where you could easily get killed. And I think sometimes for whites it's difficult to appreciate how real it is, an everyday danger. If you're an African American, then you're raising your teenage boys to be very careful in obeying the police. Literally, their lives are at risk if they interact with the police, and they can see that on television. If you're a normal Caucasian, you don't see that because it's not part of your experience. What we need is to have a conversation about mutual experiences. We need to have this conversation to push us. And while reading Mr. Gingrich's, if you're a normal white American, I don't think I'm normal. Actually, I've had friends who are African American, and I've had run-ins with the police with them, and it does look different. So I'm not a normal person to get this started. So I'm going to invite a normal person to come and have us. Nancy, who's studied theology and applies this in people's relationships. She helps people prepare for marriage and their relationships. So I'm going to invite Nancy to speak.
Well, I don't know how normal I am either. In fact, I'm going to admit that I'm kind of a lowbrow. All right, I really am a lowbrow. Every morning, after scanning the headlines, it's as much as I can do, in the Chronicle, I grab the date book section and wallow in the human interest stuff. First, Dear Abby. Good Lord, Dear Abby, I might as well be watching the Kardashians. Well, maybe not. Anyway, after solving everyone's relationship issues, I read whatever columnist is featured that day on the back page right above Dear Abby. Recently, I picked up a column. In fact, it was at the end of June. I picked up a column titled, Windows Are Closed, Doors Are Locked. The writer, a regular staff writer, recalled an incident from a few weeks before when she was on her way to kind of a hotsy-totsy cocktail party that she was going to be covering. And she was stopped, waiting for the light to change at 6th and Harrison. She glanced out the car window, which was closed, and the doors were locked. And she saw a woman, head bowed, sitting on the sidewalk, leaning against a fence. She looked to be in her 40s. And the writer went on, "As I looked at her, she turned her glance outward and focused on me. She took her hands away from her face, and I could see that she had two black eyes, smudged blue-purple circles that started above her eye sockets and spread halfway down her cheeks. The bruises were yellowing around the edges. So that probably means that they were incurred a week or so before. So by this time, though her face was terribly discolored, it wasn't swollen and she wasn't bleeding. She just sat there by herself, not panhandling, not asking me or anybody else for anything, obviously recovering from a beating, a fight, or a fall. My impulse was to connect in some way, but I was in the car, a spectator. She was on the street, being seen. If an appropriate sign of kindness were possible, I couldn't think of it. Besides, the windows were closed and the door was locked. To be honest, we learn early on that being a neighbor might carry some risk. Risk of failure, risk of being misjudged, and worse, risk of being harmed. So often, as a result, we are prudent to the point of paralysis. The safest course of action is never to venture into the unknown, especially when it is to help someone who might be a risk in some way. We build huge walls between us, in our homes, our neighborhoods, in the nation, and in the world. And these walls, whether they're physical, emotional, or even metaphorical walls, seem to be there to protect us. But in reality, they lock us into a world where our growth will be stunted and our generous impulses squelched and our fears magnified. The windows of our lives are closed and the doors of our hearts are locked. Because we have asked the most common question, most likely the one that the priest and the Levite asked when they saw this wounded man: what is going to happen to me if I get involved? And of course, there's the risk of failure or disappointment. What possibly can my involvement do to help? It's so easy to become overwhelmed. At times like this, we need to remember the words of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, who said, "If you can't feed 100 hungry people, feed just one. Feed just one." We may not be able to save the world, but we can pick something, anything, however small, and do it with great love. Anyone can do something. Most of us, and I include myself, feel real sympathy, but wind up doing little or nothing. And this is certainly what the first two people did who came upon the wounded man. Nothing. Not an option. We often try to deflect responsibility, like the scholar or the lawyer, as he's called in some circles, did in today's gospel. Who exactly is my neighbor? It's a way of saying, these people, those people, have nothing to do with me and my life. Make no mistake about it. This is a very hard message that's contained in this parable. Because our neighbor is not just someone who looks like us, speaks the same language, holds the same political opinions, and prays in the same way we do. Our neighbor is often the other. We don't even have to like the people who need our help or agree with what they stand for. But what we can't do is turn our backs, ignore their desperation. So our neighbors are refugees, immigrants, homeless people, people who are angry over the way they and others who look like them are treated, people who are in prison, and people who put them there. Our neighbors are denizens of Main Street and denizens of Wall Street, citizens of this country and citizens of a country we are fighting with. Our neighbors are those we fear as well as those we feel sorry for. So, who exactly is my neighbor? Is not the question that the Samaritan asked of himself when he saw the wounded man. And a long time ago, Father LaBelle preached on this very parable, and I've never forgotten that he posed it as two basic questions. What's going to happen to me if I help this person? And what the Samaritan asked. The Samaritan's question was very different. Not what's going to happen to me if I get involved, but what's going to happen to him if I don't get involved? And that should be our question too. What will happen to him if I don't get involved? And so this parable makes us realize that loving our neighbor, as Jesus describes it, is not optional. It's hard, but it's not optional. We are called to be neighbor to anyone who needs our help, whether they deserve it or not, whether they were born here or not, whether we admire them or not, whether they are grateful or not. You know, almost all of Jesus' healings were responses to need, not rewards for good behavior. When another has need, Jesus teaches, then we are neighbors. And his command to that young scholar or that young lawyer was very, very clear. Go and do likewise. This is the bottom line of this gospel. Go and do likewise. We can't let ourselves off the hook. You and I are to go and do likewise. Wouldn't Christian life look different if spontaneously and unquestioningly, when we heard, save your soul, we translated it to save your neighbor?
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.